Edit, stop. I'm going to start over. When Pro Tools first became ubiquitous in New York recording studios, I remember talking to a lot of people about what was acceptable for mixing, whether you could mix in the box or you could mix, or you had to mix through a mixing board. And that argument or that conversation has been going on for forever.
Ever.
So,
well,
Eli,
it's interesting because people like Kevin Killen, who's, you know, a really great mixer, he swears by in the box mixing. And that astonishes me because, you know, my transformation.
But have you heard his mixes? Just kidding.
No, I haven't.
They're
heard
awesome.
Them.
I haven't heard them since Peter Gabriel's So record. Or perhaps we might remember him from such classics as The Unforgettable Fire. I don't know if he mixed that, actually, but it certainly sounds awesome. So
I think he was, yeah, working with them then. But anyway. I'm just trying to think, when I started working at Ish Lab, I started sharing the space, and he had an old MCI desk, and
Jamin at Ish Lab, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a great 600 series that Kevin McMahon rebuilt the mix bus on, and I started mixing through that thing, and it sounded great. I mean, it sounded amazing, and it suddenly, because it was a small, very inexpensive studio, I was able to do the mixes very cheaply, which, you know, matched that curve of the budgets dropping and dropping and dropping. And still having a setup at home where I could mix in the box, I could easily, you know, go back and forth and listen to the differences. And it was like night and day. Now, I was going from a home setup, which was kind of, it was pretty small at that time, to a more studio setup that had better monitoring in the room itself, was better designed, and, you know, the speakers had better speakers and all this jazz. But so when I started to set up a mixing setup at home, I decided I really wanted to go analog if I could. And so I got me a Fulcrum. What's a Fulcrum, Jeff?
Well, just as by way of contrast, I remember having those conversations with you and thinking, well, I don't have a really good point of comparison because I'm either mixing at that point a very,
right,
very scaled down setup in my house or on a Neve at Stratosphere,
yeah, which is, one
which
of the
is
best.
Like, you can't really compare mixing on a Neve,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
mixing in the box.
Well, it's also that room.
Yeah, that
Stratosphere is one of the best sounding control rooms in New York, if not the, in my opinion. Sorry, Steve.
But I remember trying to mix in the B room on the Trident there, and there was only 8 outputs, and just feeling like, well, this is a little too much work for what I think whatever small return is. And I honestly couldn't even really hear the difference between doing that and the box, except that I knew that the next time I came in to work on that particular session, I was going to have it recalled exactly the way it was. And it just wasn't set up in,
right,
a way that was recallable. Enter,
yeah,
the Fulcrum. The,
yeah,
genius, yeah, behind the Fulcrum is it's a passive summing matrix, I guess you would call it. It's just a passive summing box that has 16,
yeah,
inputs that can either be left, right, or mono.
Mm-hmm.
So you can assign each input to left, right, or mono, and then it sums them passively, so there's no electronics in it.
Yeah, there's no power.
There's no amplification circuits. And then you have to go into a mic pre or
that summing
a
process. The summing process drops it like 50 dB, right?
I forget what it is, but
50 or 60 dB.
It's a considerable amount that when you have a passive,
yeah, so you have to use a mic
network like that
a mic pre,
yeah,
to
get it back up to
and the line level.
One of the reasons I've been reading a lot about this, because there are many people out there who talk about how summing is completely a good way of selling commercial product, but is in fact a bunch of mumbo jumbo hocus pocus, and you can get equally good results in the box as you can out of the box if you know what you're doing. And I actually think that there's some truth to that, because I noticed the minute I started recording digitally, I mean, when digital first came out, especially on ADATs, I just remember everybody was like, you have to get as much signal in there as you can because the 16-bit to 8 to 4-bits is so crappy sounding when you start getting into like quieter levels, mm-hmm, with lower word.
There's a lot of math behind that, but
yeah,
it is true. It's 16-bit. It's more difficult to do lower levels and make them sound decent.
And then that makes your, so you have a generation of people who learn to record things. And also there was just such a macho, man, I slam the tape as hard as I can. Well, you know, what does that actually mean? Like, is it in the red the entire time on a hi-hat track? Like, I really hope it isn't, because it's not going to sound good. But I mean, if you read Mix Magazine in the 90s, there was all these guys who were like, there's such a cock element to it that's just...
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
When we went from 16 to 24-bit, that was less of an issue. I mean, I think that was a big... And mixing in the box, once we got to 24-bit, really did become viable. And I think as the software progressed, and certainly as computers progressed, I mean, you know, when you started to get these multi-core...
Yeah.
You know, even the G5s, you know, you actually could mix and you could put a bunch of plugins and stuff on and have flexibility and creativity and stuff like that. And you can get great sounding mixes out of it. And the thing is, I try not to get into that whole comparison, because if you start down the road of mixing in the box, you can make it sound great. It's just that you're working with the tools that you have. For me personally, for the way I mix, and that's the only way that I can define it, is that when I'm using an analog summing system like the Fulcrum, this sounds like an ad for the Fulcrum, but whatever the summing, you know.
Yeah, well, use your MCI. I mean, I've done the same thing on the Neve.
Exactly. Or the little Neve.
I actually had an interesting experiment where we took a mix that someone had done passively through a D-Box, I think it was, or dangerous music summing D-box. Things. And he had actually then mixed it down to stems, and then he had the master mix plus each stem. So it was basically 16 tracks.
Uh-huh.
We ran it through the Neve with no EQ, just passively, going through the summing network of the Neve and the amps there, and compared it to the mix that he had gotten. And there was almost no discernible difference. Mm. It was like, maybe do you like vanilla that's like from Haagen-Dazs, or do you like vanilla that's from... Ben and Jerry's. Well, I prefer Ben and Jerry's, but they don't make vanilla, so we can't actually go there. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, okay, that's kind of not
very subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that for the way that I like to mix, it's starting out in that analog domain has been a huge, huge help as far as getting it back to where it sounded going through working in a professional studio.
And this is kind of what I'm saying, though, because I was reading a thread about this, and I think there's a lot of logic to this. Is that people got used to recording stuff? So no, it wasn't on Gear Sluts. It was on some other thing. People got used to recording stuff at such hot levels going into the box that there's no headroom on the summing buses. And the whole trick to mixing in the box is keeping your headroom. And like, that means you've got to keep your faders. If you're recording hot, your faders are going to be like minus 10 or minus 20. There was one thread about how, if you want to make your life easy, just put a trim plugin as your first plugin and set it to minus 6 on every channel. All of a sudden, you're going to have lots and lots of headroom. You can mix with the faders in the sort of between plus 5 and minus 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, instantly, you're not peaking the mix bus, which... sounds good at the time you're doing it, and then you listen to it later and it's like, wow, there's like no stereo width at all. It's very, very narrow sounding, even if it's in your face.
Well, analog is also much more forgiving.
But the thing about the Fulcrum is, because it's got it drops the level on the output so much, you coming back in with the mic pre, you have like just crazy headroom.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like lots, you have more headroom doing it that way than you do just mixing on a regular analog board because of that. And I think that what this person in the thread was saying was that it's just a bunch of lazy people who don't want to set their headroom right in the box that are having these problems. I agree with you, man. Like, I don't even care. Like, yeah, okay, call me lazy. Guess what? I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to get a lot done. And it's just like, I can put it through the summing bus. And once I get it set up and running, it's fast.